to Conversations. I'm your host, Emily Raines. Thank you for spending some time with us this weekend. Joining me this segment is Tom Corner. He is a motivational speaker, mentor, and author. Join us as we look at issues that affect us here at home, in our community, and across the nation. Right now, in many organizations, there is an us versus them mentality with the management and the people that work below them. But Tom believes that a gentler approach, a more human approach, understanding your employees actually produce better results as opposed to just looking at the bottom line. So, Tom, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Emily, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Tom, you have so much work experience you're bringing to the table. I mean, you worked in restaurants and the hospitality industry and the financial services industry. And you say that so many leaders are often too ego-driven. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you actually look at the definite, I believe it's a cultural thing. It's, if you go to school, it's business is taught, and it's not a bad thing. But what I believe is lacking is also teaching how to lead with love. And if you look at the definition of success, the definition of success is 100% about the ego. And there's nothing wrong with being successful, having titles, money, and houses, until maybe it does become something that's detrimental and you lead mindlessly and you have actively disengaged employees and it becomes toxic. That's where I believe the challenge potentially resides. And in my upcoming book, I talk about Albert Einstein almost a century ago. He wrote in his eloquence what I will term as, quote unquote, he said, forget success. But he wrote these words down when he toured in Japan, and he wrote down the words that a calm and modest life leads to more happiness than the pursuit of success bound with constant unrest. Those words, Emily, sold for $1.5 million. I think it was 2017 at an auction. He was onto something.
Wow.
And again, if you look at success, it's all about the ego. We need to bring more love and learning to love your people into the conversation.
If someone is still using the old school philosophy and browbeating their employees and just really using a stern hand with them, what are the repercussions that come with that?
And that happens all the time. And whether it's you're a leader or a coach or a teacher or a parent, and you can get people to work and you can motivate them if you browbeat them and you drive them to work harder. But if that's all you do and that's the way you lead and pound your chest and that's the only way you know how to, quote unquote, motivate your people, I'll tell you right now, it will backfire. And that's where you have to step back and say, okay, am I embracing my people? Am I loving my people? Do I know how to do that? Because you can only browbeat somebody so many times until eventually they become, again, actively disengaged and they end up showing up for work just to collect the paycheck versus to become better personally and professionally.
Well, how does a leader lead with love and implement that approach?
It takes place gradually and then suddenly. And that's a phrase used in the book Fierce Conversations, which was taken from Hemingway's book The Sun Also Rises. It takes place gradually. It is a shift in the mindset of the way we lead and the way we manage. And I've experienced this personally in my career. I've studied this. Businesses succeed with, you have to succeed with both. You have to love your, what I call your names or your people. And you can also love your numbers or your metrics or your analytics. But what we're seeing, I believe, is more on the left brain side, driving analytics, and we're leading, and leaders are loving their numbers. And the Challenger Sale is a fantastic sales book. They call this spreadsheet coaching, and it's not a good thing. Leaders need to get their heads out of the spreadsheets and go back to what made their company a tremendous success. And that was probably their vision they had and what their guiding principles are. But a lot of times that gets lost because as you grow, you have, you know, if you have 10 employees versus 10,000, how do you convey that message in leading with love when you have 10,000 employees? And it's a matter of that management piece. You have mediocre management And maybe that leading with love will get lost in translation. You have to teach people to not be afraid to step back and stop browbeating and driving people to work harder and understand how I can actually get just as much, if not more, from them by understanding who they are as a person, as a professional. I've done it myself and it works.
Well, in your upcoming book, you address many parallels between the childhood on the playground to your life, you know, in the boardroom. So does the root of this all just stem back to anger we had coming from the past of either getting bullied on the playground or not getting what we wanted?
I always chuckle at that because I believe it's so true. If you look back on your life and the parallels from experiences we had in the playground in our childhood, not much changes into the boardroom of life. You have the same tyrants or bullies or people that just like to go around and push people around and they get away with it. And then people that are wonderful people that will work, that's just not the way they operate, but they don't fight back or they don't speak up because either they feel they don't have a voice or they're intimidated. And it's very unhealthy. It leads to a lot of toxicity. And what typically happens is you're going to have leaders that aren't listening will be surrounded by employees and people who no longer have anything to say. And it's our upbringing. And this goes, and my book talks about life and career. And this goes into upbringing. What's my perspective of the world? What am I taught to believe? In schools and universities, the business fundamentals are important. Learning to manage is important. Running a business is important. But what, again, needs to be included in the mix is loving your people and leading with love. Tammy Simon, which sounds true, is partnering with LinkedIn to create CEO. I can't remember the term. I apologize. But she's bringing awareness and awakening and love into the workplace with CEOs. And that's a great step.
So it sounds like as a leader, it's better to lead with love, like you say. But eventually, I mean, in the end, it is a business. There is a bottom line. So where is that fine line that you draw between, okay, I understand that this person might be struggling because, you know, the kids are home now, but also they got to get the work done. So how do you as a leader keep your heart and your head kind of working together? Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense, and that's a riddle to solve. I go back and say it's like the age-old question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the names or the numbers, the people or the profits? And I'll tell you right now, at least in our existence at this point, the only way that you can make money is with people. We love automation and AI, and we're not there yet, which scares me, but you need to look at your people. But what's difficult to do is that's the unknown. So for somebody to say, well, you're telling me to revisit this and look away from the numbers a little bit, and how's that going to affect my profits? That scares me. And most people won't do it. So it takes place gradually, but it can work. And again, I've tested this myself, being in the corporate world. I worked very hard, but I didn't metric myself. I knew what needed to be done. I embraced the people that worked around me. I embraced my clients, and I understood my clients and what their needs were. And it was a shift in perspective, and it's really scary to do that if you're just meaning you have to look away from your numbers and analytics. But it works. I've tested it. But it's a matter of really retraining people to find that balance. There's a book called The Wisdom of Failure, and they talk about some of the biggest companies in this country's history that failed because they lacked that balance. They were too heavily weighted, really, in the numbers and losing track of what got them there in the first place.
Well, in that same sense of weighing and having balance, you have to get to know your employees. But how much do you let your employees know you and what's happening in your personal life while still keeping the respect of, I am the boss?
You know, at this day and age, with everything that's out there in social media, That's a good question. It's really a matter of, I believe, if yes, you want to remain private, you're working, but if you build up employees that you call your family, well, if you're going to call them your family, then that you, I believe you need to step up and represent yourself in that form or fashion. I'm not saying you have to, but that is being open and honest, and maybe people call that vulnerable, that they are not willing to do that and let them know that they're humans. But what's the trade-off? You look like a tyrant, and you browbeat people, and they're scared of you, and they become actively disengaged. And it's just like kids. And what happens, Emily, is kids will get what they want. They'll just say the right things to the parents, the figureheads, to appease them, but they'll go about and do what they want because they're afraid of being honest. So with the leader, the same thing happens. And again, I've seen this happen. That's the ego. It's really just opening up and saying, look, this is what we want to do. You do your best. You have to surround yourself with the right people that embrace that love and that culture, which I believe is a disconnect and challenging. But at the end of the day, I think that's I think that's a trait of a real leader is saying, look, yeah, I'm here to run a business, but I'm also human, and I'll show the times I fell on my face and made mistakes. And that's one thing schools are doing now is they're teaching about failure, and they're teaching people to fail, yeah, which is a big win. Next is to teach them to also take that failure, because if you love that person and show them how to fail, that'll go hand in hand. And the term success, I think, will be redefined.
I agree. Well, Tom, where can our listeners find out more about you and your books?
Yeah, Emily, thank you. Please visit me at tomcorner.net, TOMCORNER.net, and check out my books, some of my blog articles, and this interview will be posted there. You can also check me out on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And thank you again, Emily. It's been an honor.
Of course. And I do recommend buying your books. If not for yourself, then go ahead and buy it for your boss and just slide it in there. Be like, I have something for you to read.
That would be great.
All right, Tom. Thank you. Have a good one. And you have a good one as well. Thank you for listening. Conversations is a public affairs program of this station.